You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
This week, no prizes for guessing where this element's name comes from. Eric Sherry.
Element 97 in the periodic table is one of only two elements named after a university, namely the University of California at Berkeley. The other such element is number 110, called Darmstadtium, after the University of Darmstadt in Germany. The university and the city of Berkeley were in turn named after the Anglo-Irish philosopher George Berkeley. The pronunciation changed from Berkeley to Berkeley when the name crossed the Atlantic Ocean in 1869, the year that the city and the university were both founded. Incidentally, this was also the year in which Dmitri Mendeleev published the first mature periodic system and began to predict the existence of new elements. But let me get back to berkelium. It was the fifth element in the periodic table, after the last naturally occurring element, uranium, to be artificially synthesized. Berkelium was first made some 60 years ago by Stam Thompson, Al Giorso, and Glenn Seaborg, by bombarding the isotope of americium-241 with alpha particles. The half-life of the first isotope of berkelium to be produced in this way was a healthy 4.5 hours. Subsequently discovered isotopes have included berkelium-249 with a half-life of as much as 314 days. One of the discoverers, Glenn Seaborg, was a member of various teams that synthesized a total of 10 elements over a period of many years. His success led to a proposal that he should have an element named after him. But the official governing body, the International Union of Pure and Applied Chemistry, refused to accept this on the basis that no living scientist had ever been honored in this way. But actually, the element fermium was proposed when the Italian physicist Enrico Fermi was still living, and that proposal was actually accepted. Finally, after much campaigning by chemists around the world, the International Union of Pure and Applied Chemistry relented, and element 106 was duly named Seaborgium, and while he was still alive. This led to an amusing situation whereby people could try to send letters or postcards to Seaborg by using nothing but a sequence of symbols of various elements in the following order. First of all, one could write SG for element 106 or Seaborg's name. The second line consisted of BK for this week's element 97 or the university at which Seaborg worked. The third line was CF for element 98 or californium or the state in which the university stands. Finally, if writing from abroad, the correspondent could add AM for element 95 or americium or the country of America to complete the address. To the credit of several postal systems around the world, a handful of people did indeed succeed in getting letters and messages of congratulations to Seaborg in this cryptic fashion. Many compounds of element 97, berkelium, have now been prepared. Unlike the extremely short half-lives possessed by the super-heavy elements like 117 and 118 that have been in the news recently, experiments on berkelium are relatively easy to perform, and its chemistry has been studied in some detail. The existence of weighable amounts of berkelium-249 have made it possible to determine some of its properties using macroscopic quantities. Although the pure element has not yet been isolated, it is predicted to be a silvery metal that would easily oxidize in air at high temperatures and would be soluble in dilute mineral acids. X-ray diffraction techniques have been used to identify various berkelium compounds, such as berkelium dioxide, berkelium fluoride, berkelium oxychloride, and berkelium trioxide. Oxidation states, so far, are +3 and +4, in accordance with its position below terbium in the periodic table. In 1962, visible amounts of berkelium chloride were isolated, weighing 3/1,000,000 of a gram. This was the first time that visible amounts of a pure berkelium compound had been produced. Like other actinides, berkelium accumulates in skeletal tissue and is therefore highly toxic to humans. The element has not found any uses yet outside of basic research and plays no known biological role. Nevertheless, its discovery was an important step towards the synthesis of superheavy elements. It has also served to test theories of nuclear physics, as well as showing that the predictions of the periodic table are fulfilled well beyond the elements for which it was originally devised.
So playing a pivotal role in fundamental chemistry and physics, whilst also testing the chemical knowledge of postal services worldwide. That was scientist and author Eric Sherry from UCLA with the discovery of berkelium. Now, next week, an element that requires a magic touch. As long as you don't get too close.
The next exciting thing about cesium is that my love is not unrequited. It responds to my touch. Strictly speaking, it's the warmth from the hand that melts it, given that its melting point is only 28.4 degrees C. So just holding its container converts the crystalline solid into liquid gold. Liquid metals are always fascinating. Everyone loves mercury. Just imagine playing with liquid gold. But here's the snag that adds to my fascination with this metal. It has a rather fiery temper. In fact, you can't actually touch the metal itself, since it spontaneously bursts into flame in the presence of air and reacts explosively with water. Awkward indeed. My cesium is sealed inside a glass tube under an atmosphere of the chemically inert gas argon. So to play with it, you have to hold the glass tube, knowing that if you accidentally crushed it or dropped it, all hell would break loose.
And as well as a possible adrenaline rush, join Cambridge University's Peter Wathers for more exciting facts about the liquid gold element that is cesium in next week's Chemistry in Its Element. Until then, thank you for listening. I'm Meera Senthilingam.
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.